Yokoso Fantastic Neighborhood Gaiden Episode 2. Yokoso in Japanese means welcome. I'm your host, John Anderson. With me, as always, is...
Hi, I'm Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan. Really, the best reference you could make was to fucking The Hunt for Red October.
No, first Bioshock.
His last name's not Ryan.
First, the main character of the first Bioshock is Andrew Ryan's clone, Jack Ryan.
Wait. So wait, his last name is Ryan? He's a clone.
Okay. He's still... I'm almost confident about this.
No, you're wrong. No, that's not right.
Oh, did I get you on one?
He doesn't have a... Okay, I guess technically his last... Okay, fine.
I win.
But Jack Ryan, that's stupid. Jack Ryan is the name of, Harrison Ford, Alec Baldwin, and Ben Affleck's character in those terrible Tom Clancy movies. I thought you were, somehow trying to be topical about Tom Clancy dying.
Why would I do that?
Okay, that makes no sense. Okay, so what are we here to talk about today, Fred? Just kidding. It's my turn to say that. This is a disaster. In this episode of Fantastic Neighborhood Gaiden, we are going to discuss the first bit of DLC for Bioshock Infinite, the first story DLC for Bioshock Infinite, Burial at Sea Part 1. This is transporting us back to Rapture, the world under the sea, playing as, seems like playing as Booker DeWitt, Private Eye, in the Rapture setting.
So it's pre-downfall Rapture.
Yeah.
It's a prequel, technically.
It appears to take place in... is it a prequel? Because is it in the same universe as the first Bioshock?
You don't know. It's left up in the air. Conceivably, it is one of the universes, right?
So it takes place... It looks around New Year's Eve 1958, which I don't believe is the catastrophic New Year's that the world is still stuck in. In the first Bioshock, is it?
It may very well be, but I mean, obviously, it's calling back to that.
Yeah. So, where do we go?
This is a tough one to approach.
1958. Sorry, 1958 New Year's is when the Rapture Civil War starts, and that's what the state the world is frozen in. So it seems like you're starting in that. That you're starting that evening.
Yeah, so right before the events. This one, I had trouble trying to figure out I want to talk about this game on many levels, but I also have trouble actually knowing where to begin.
So, I think talking about the story, obviously there's going to be spoilers ahead, but I think until we talk about how this episode ends, it's not really... disastrous.
Yeah.
I mean, so the game starts, you're again Booker DeWitt, and you're in your office again, and somebody hires you, and this time it's Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite.
No recollection of her at this point, right? This is a different Booker from what you can tell, right? There's no connection.
And potentially a different Elizabeth, but who knows? The thing is, the first half of the game or the first hour of the game is not combat. It's you going around and being a private eye and trying to get into this exclusive party. Yes.
And so that is where this game takes a real departure from the previous Bioshock titles. One of the bigger criticisms of Bioshock has always been that it just sort of... It's gun combat, and it just goes straight into gun combat. The first half of this game, or maybe not half, but first third, is spent you exploring, listening to conversations, and trying to solve this, private eye puzzle.
Yeah, so, the fucking exploring, needlessly cursing there, is pretty great. Like, being around, there's an... I think in Bioshock 2, there's part where you're in pre-downfall rapture, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, you know, it's pretty cool. And, like, getting around that world and kind of, like, getting a better idea about it. Like, I think one thing that really stuck out to me was as you're walking, there are two men embracing. Did you see that part?
I think so. It's one of the many things I probably saw. Like, there was a lot going on.
So, like, basically, when you're walking to that elevator, there are two men just kind of looking out at Rapture, and one has an arm around the other, and, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting to suggest that Rapture, with all its Ayn Rand objectivist bullshit, I mean, you know, is essentially a pretty open racism, sexism, free place, which is kind of, considering I'm playing this on the Bioshock Infinite disc, kind of the opposite, right, of that entire game.
Well, and, you know, the Bioshock 1 setting was like this hyper-libertarian world, and there's a lot of references to it throughout this DLC, right? You know, there's people have, like, whether you agree with the politics of the characters or not, they have very heady discussions about political concepts of the time, just in casual conversation as you're walking by them, which is something that people nowadays just degenerate into screaming matches about.
Right. I thought, like, you know, I mean, the world, obviously, the much like actual libertarianism is absolutely insane. Sorry, I'm a BA.
It's great in theory.
Yeah, it's great in theory. Like, I think Bioshock is a bit of commentary on that, because, you know, obviously we know things are going to go tits up the next day. So, you know, the thing about it is, I really liked that. And what I really could have done with is not having combat in this at all. Like,
I agree. I think that if there was no combat, maybe you had to get plasmids to solve puzzles with them, like you do at some points in this game later on.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
non-combat stuff.
I'm not gonna armchair like game develop, but like I swear that they said that, you know, that like, am I mistaken? I thought
the
they said
you feel different.
I thought they said you were gonna play as Elizabeth.
Okay, so you do play as Elizabeth in the next chapter.
Oh, okay.
That is public knowledge.
Okay, so, you know, like, man, I just did not really want to shoot more people. It feels really contrived how they get you to the shooting parts.
Yeah,
am I wrong?
Not a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of, there's cognitive dissonance about it, right? Like, Booker does not seem to have an issue with the fact that he's now just going to start gunning down people, and they sort of play it off as like, oh, they're splicers.
Well, see, that's the whole thing about that's the whole thing about Bioshock during everything is like, oh well, you know, I'm gonna weigh really heavily what to do with these little sisters, but fuck, I just shot like 1,000 people who are essentially drug addicts, right? Like,
right.
And you know, it's acknowledged a little bit in that at some point Elizabeth is like, you know, particularly like when I killed the woman in the bridal store, like, oh, was she dangerous or was she just crazy? And it's like, well, you know, I wasn't going to wait to ask her. And, you know, she's right, questioning a little bit of the crazy murdering you're doing, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, that's what
you're still crazy murdering, and she's still helping you.
Yeah, Booker, health, catch. Yeah.
I'm glad that didn't go away.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad that I'm still eating hot dogs out of garbage cans or whatever. Like,
and talking vending machines.
The fucking gun vending machines, man. You know, like, my gameplay trope that I hate the most is the gun vending machine. Like, I understand this libertarian world and you're supposed to, like, be able to protect your home or something. Like,
and they're also the vending machines are also only once you've gone into
the combat areas.
Yeah, and there's a story reason for that as well, but I don't want to. We're not in spoilers yet, so I don't want to mention it.
I think we are in spoilers. So.
You want to call it spoilers right here? Spoilers.
So the
vending machines are only in the Fontaine building.
Yeah, but the thing about it is they're Ryan's vending machines, but they're in Fontaine's store? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, well, they're all sort of nonsensical, right?
So the other thing is, like, why would there be gun vending machines in a city that is pressurized, that the entire city is reliant on there not being a leak.
Yeah.
But why you're going to also allow people to have guns.
I mean, arguably the plasmids are the same thing, right? Like, why are you going to allow people to shoot fireballs? Why would you even need that?
I guess I don't want to go too far into that. But like, I fucking hate gun vending machines.
Right. But let's get onto the other points of this game. So you meet up with Sandra Cohen, who was, I think, my favorite character from the first game, and he sends you into Fontaine's department store, where Andrew Ryan has sank Fontaine's people. What I don't understand about this point is that if Andrew Ryan was going to do this, why wouldn't he just flood those fucking buildings?
Whatever. It gets you into a combat area.
Sure.
So, you know, the story reasons for getting you in there, the story reasons for getting plasmids, the fact that you already have plasmids, like, that stuff felt a little bit more natural to me. I think the story of you tracking down this little girl who was your ward, essentially, like...
Yeah, she's adopted, like, street urchin sort of girl.
Yeah, and you're still Scumbags Booker DeWitt, and so you lost her while you were gambling.
We don't know if that's actually true or not. That's the story Booker says.
That's a setup, or that's what he's convinced of himself. Right. It looks like, I mean, we know it's the same Booker. We know it's the same Booker slash... Comstock, because he has AD still tattooed on his hand, right?
Right. And then, you know, the flashbacks that they blink during the game, I recognized instantly what they were. I don't know if you did.
Were they not things from the, like, the baptism thing?
No, they were the moment before you kill Comstock in Infinite. Where you bash his head off of the water basin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so that makes a lot more sense
now.
So
you're that Comstock.
Well, I'm a little lost about that, exactly who you are and why this all happened. Let's talk about the good before I start talking about the confusing. The gameplay itself, super fucking solid in this one, felt more like the original Bioshock.
So, yeah, except that you could, you know, equip a gun and a plasma at the same time. So, I made the horrible mistake of playing Bioshock Infinite on hard, which was the worst thing.
Yeah, that was really tough.
Played this on medium, and it was
still
fun.
Fucking hard.
It was hard, but the gameplay, it was really fun. The combat scenarios were actually fun at this difficulty.
Right. I found that I was conserving ammo. I was trying to be tactical about how I did things. There's a little bit of a stealth element in this game at points. It's clumsy.
Yeah. But you did. So there was not a lot of ammo around, and I didn't really realize how short the game was. So I ended up hoarding all my money. I didn't spend anything. So I didn't get the achievement of upgrading things, but the combat scenarios and, like, not being able to hold a lot of ammo and, you know, not having a lot of plasmids, like, it made those scenarios actually a little bit cooler. I had a lot more fun in these shooting sequences than I did in all of Bioshock Infinite, especially that scene in the graveyard with that ghost. Try playing that on hard.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't even try.
3 hours. It took me 3 hours.
But, yeah, like, you know, and This had a little bit more of a fetch quest feel to it. It's one of those, you know, Legend of Zelda puzzles where, like, go here to get this, to unlock this, and then at the end it all comes together and lets you out the elevator shaft that was there in the first place.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem with that. You know, I kind of like the way this game felt, at least because it was short. It wasn't an entire, you know, 8-hour drive filled with that. The combat was satisfying enough, right, to keep me playing. Let's talk about the, I don't want to say bad, but the confusing stuff. The storyline leading you up to the ending, I don't understand who this Booker really is, because I had to read some stuff after I beat this game on just what the hell happened and what people are saying the ending is. Because I was under the impression that at the end of Infinite, Booker was wiped out.
So, yeah. But, I mean, there's always a girl, there's always a man, there's always a lighthouse.
Right. So, what I read was that...
So, what people, I'm guessing is that one of the Bookers got away, and it was the Comstock that you killed or think you killed. I could be wrong, but like... She's cleaning up.
Well, that's the whole, like, I'm in the business of collecting, of debt collection.
Yeah.
Like, she seems to be tying up loose ends as it stands. The end of Infinite, they kill Booker at the moment of the baptism where he decides to become Comstock. So the Bookers who were baptized drowned, as opposed to becoming Comstock, and that supposedly went across all realities, while regular Booker seems to have survived. But this Booker seems to have become Comstock at some later point or for some different event, because keep in mind, there are infinite possibilities.
So, but this comes... Oh, man.
I know, it's... We're just guessing at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, I know that I really enjoyed it, and the ending I found, or the cliffhanger I found really, while satisfying, like, I mean, I found it satisfying.
I didn't understand it.
If not nebulous, like, the pure shock value of, like, getting stabbed through the gut, like, felt, like, really, I mean, it felt cool, if that makes sense. Cool.
Oh, yeah,
no,
it absolutely did.
You know, I knew that there had to be a Big Daddy fight coming up because there hadn't been one.
Oh, yeah, and there's no way it wasn't going to happen. You knew it would happen, and you knew it would be the iconic drill Big Daddy as well, as opposed to the rivet gun one. Yeah, I mean, just when you're going through the game and you can see him working on Rapture outside the windows, first of all, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, you knew it's a Bioshock game. It had to be that way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when you get to the toy shop and it's, like, that fucking combat arena set up with all the things that you can summon.
Well, you always knew you were going to getting to a combat area, which is, like, again, you know, that's what it is. But, you know, and some more of the, I mean, just, like the Big Daddy working outside. Some of that, like, explanation of the basis for Bioshock was really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of the propaganda throughout the game is actually really interesting, the way they do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that twist that it seems like she's cleaning up stuff, like, that in the reality from that this Booker's from, instead of Elizabeth or Anna losing a pinky, she loses her head.
Right.
Like, I don't know what the fuck that is, but, like, that, man, I felt like, I got, like, chills, right? Like, I was just, like, whew. And then I played Gone Home a couple days later, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, that's how you do narrative in video games. Man, like, just a little less swooning for Ken Levine.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, you typed the question in the notes here, what do we expect from Chapter 2? And I have no fucking clue.
Well, here's my bold predictions for Chapter 2, right? I think that, and this might not be that bold, but I think whatever the outcome of 2 is, it's going to directly lead into the events of Bioshock 1.
Yeah, that's a given.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that whatever something that Elizabeth does actually creates either the protagonist from BioShock 2 Project or Delta or whatever his name was, or the girl that he's trying to rescue the entire time.
So that I'm going to have to disagree with you simply because of how BioShock 2 was not irrational. You know, it's 2K Marin. And despite it being a very, very, very capable game, I don't think Ken Levine really, you know, I don't think he holds that as his own. I sure as fuck hope he holds Minerva's dead. Man, that's good. It's good stuff there. I can't believe I never finished that. I gotta go back.
You gotta go back to that. And then aside from that, I kind of hope the Elizabeth Booker story wraps up. I'm starting to feel really bad for Booker.
No. I mean, he's a guy who's constantly trying to escape his horrible deeds.
Right. I don't know. Is the Booker storyline like a big... You know how like the first BioShock was about libertarianism in a way? Is his whole storyline about PTSD?
Wow, I didn't think of that. That's an interesting reach.
That is the turning point, right? The Battle of Wounded Knee. He committed atrocities because he was a soldier, and then that's the fork where he either becomes baptized to cleanse himself of his sins, or becomes the degenerate gambler.
Well, I mean, nobody commits atrocities because they're a soldier. They commit atrocities because they take those actions, right? There's no war without warriors.
Right. He was put into that situation when he was a soldier, is what I mean.
I think maybe some of that PTSD stuff has a lot to do with it, but I don't think that's the main focal point. I wish I had some predictions for you, because I really am like just not sure what the hell is going to happen.
Right. The other loose end in this game that I want to see resolved is the Lutece twins.
they're ethereal beings at this point.
Are they? I mean, I feel like
they're pan-dimensional.
Well, they're the thing that connects it all. They need to be.
They're Magrathians.
If Elizabeth is really trying to tie up loose ends, wouldn't they be the last thing?
Are they killable?
That's a good question.
Are the Elizabeth parts in the next episode combat?
I think you play as Elizabeth the whole time.
So, is there man? I wish it doesn't have to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be combat, right? Like I think we've learned that lesson pretty
well,
recently.
It's also going to be interesting, like, does Elizabeth use plasmids?
Well, she summons things.
Does she use guns? You know, like maybe the whole game is puzzles.
I certainly don't think she's going to use guns. So basically it becomes sort of Portal-esque.
That wouldn't be bad.
Dude, I don't think they could waste that idea on a piece of DLC. Like that's
maybe she has a big daddy.
And she orders him to what was that game?
Overlord?
Yes.
She overlords him around.
So that seems, I don't know. I think that idea is too good to use as a 3-hour bit of DLC.
It's true. That being said, I think we're just going to have to wait and see. Hopefully this game is out before, like, I mean, I think the promise is that it'll be out before March.
So here, man, I feel like a real sucker for getting the $100 version of BioShock Infinite. Except that, you know, I lined the, you know, 2K, man, buy all their stuff. I forgot I haven't used that joke in a while. But when somebody eventually gets the Game of the Year edition of this with all the DLC in for $60, that is a great deal. That is a really solid deal.
yeah, absolutely.
I wish I was playing this on a high-end gaming PC or a current-gen console, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Do we have anything else to say about this?
No.
I think we pretty much hit it all.
I think that about wraps it up. So come back and join us next week on a regular episode of Fantastic Neighborhood. We'll be having, let's see, we'll talk about Xbox One. We'll have a game club of... Fred, remind me again what game club is next week.
The Swapper.
The Swapper, right, on PC. So anyway, we'll see you then.
Peace.
Moshi moshi. Just kidding. That's what you say when you answer the phone. Fuck, I got drunk, Fred. Ugh. So, Fantastic Neighborhood Guide End, Episode 2. That means welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood, Episode 2. Fuck, Fred, I'm messing it up.